بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استنى بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين وبعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وقد قال تعالى لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنكم في زمان من ترك منكم عشر ما أمر به هلك ثم يأتي على الناس زمان من عمل منهم بعشر ما أمر به نجا وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear respected elders, brothers, friends in Islam, all praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has afforded us this opportunity to gather on this auspicious day of Jumu'ah. Indeed, this is a shan and this is a great blessing of Islam that one of the busiest days in the week, being a Friday and on the one of the busiest hours in that day, the whole Muslim community takes off from the business world, from the corporate world, and they all gather in the masajid to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the signs of the beauty of Islam. If you look at the other deens, the day for the prayer is either a public holiday or at such a time when they are not preoccupied with the dunya. So this is one of the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored this ummah with. And we have to continuously thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentions in the Quran, أَلَمْ تَرُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ. That Allah, do you not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has subjugated, Allah has put into your service, for your service Allah has put whatever is in the heavens, whatever is in the earth. وَأَزْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَهُ ظَاهِرَةُ وَبَاطِنَةُ. And Allah has perfected, Allah has made good for you, whatever externally and internally. Your physical needs Allah Pak has taken care of. Your spiritual needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken care of. If we just analyze, very quickly, if we just analyze as far as our physical needs are concerned, Allah Pak has created us in the perfect manner. It's impossible for any person to be created better than the way Allah Pak has created him. And the first time Allah has created him, Allah has created perfect. Unlike insan, insan has such a thing called a learning curve. The more he does something, the better he becomes at it. But with Allah, the first horse Allah has created perfect. No need for a revised model. No need for a facelift. The first insan Allah has created perfect. To such an extent, in fact, if we go to see that the insan of that time was much stronger, much more fitter than the insan of our age. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a hadith Qudsi, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a rawi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complained that كَذَّبَنِي إِبْنُ آدَمَ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ ذَلِكَ وَشَتَمَنِي وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ ذَلِكَ وَأَمَّا تَكْذِيبُهُ إِيَّايَ فَقُولُهُ لَيْ يُعِيدَنِي كَمَا بَدَأَنِي وَلَيْسَ أَوَّلُ الْخَلْقِ بِأَهْوَنَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ إِعَادَتِهِ وَأَمَّا شَتْمُهُ إِيَّايَ فَقُولُهُ اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا وَأَنَا الْأَحَدُ الصَّمَدُ الَّذِي لَمْ أَلِدْ وَلَمْ أُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لِي كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. That Allah is complaining that this insan is saying that Allah will never be able to create him again. In other words, Allah created him the first time and it's so difficult. Allah is saying, وَلَيْسَ أَوَّلُ الْخَلْقِ بِأَهْوَنَ عَلَيَّ. That the second time is no more easier for me. The second time is no more easier for me than the first time. Allah is using our understanding that you can do something easier the second time. How can you even think that it is not easier for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create you the second time? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the same insan, he's hurling verbal abuses against me. What is he saying? He's saying, اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. Allah has taken a son. Allah says, وَأَنَا الْأَحَدُ الصَّمَدُ. I am one, I am independent. لَمْ أَلِدْ وَلَمْ أُولَدْ. I do not give birth, nor have I been given birth to. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لِي كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There isn't anybody like me. There is no match for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this is not difficult. To such an extent, Surah Qiyamah, Allah mentions, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّا نَجْمَعْ عِظَامَهُ. Does this insan think that I will not be able to gather I will not be able to reconstitute his bones. بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَا. Allah says, nay, we are indeed capable of actually recreating even your fingertips, of creating your fingertips. In other words, even your fingerprints, 6 billion insan on the earth, everyone has got a unique fingerprint. Allah Pak not only can recreate us perfectly, even our fingerprints also perfectly. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to thank Allah for this physical being that Allah has given us. Simple things we take for granted. One example, if you look at these tears in our eyes, this job of lubricating the eyes, ask a person who suffers from a dry eye syndrome, how difficult, what pain he goes through just because of the lack of tears. One thing Allah Pak mentions, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Do you not look within yourselves? Do you not see? Do you not appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهُ. Allah says that you try, quantify, try and measure the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You will never ever be able to quantify. To quantify anything, to measure anything, you need a nuqtatul ibtida. You need a starting point and you need a nuqtatul intiha, a ending point. For example, if you want to measure the length of Melanson Road, we need to know where the road starts from, where the road ends. Then it is possible for us to measure the length of the road. But look at our starting point. Our starting point is Jannat. Our ending point is Jannat. And Jannat is such a thing, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. That no person has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no eyes have ever seen, no ears have ever heard, nor has it crossed the mind of any person. So we cannot quantify the starting point, we cannot put a value to the ending point. How can we value this insan? So insan automatically becomes ajiz, he becomes helpless to try and quantify and put a value to himself. That as far as our physical needs are concerned, as far as our spiritual needs are concerned, Allah Pak has sent us with a beautiful deen. Such a deen that if we look and we try and comprehend and appreciate, we'll realize it is a living miracle. We all like to see miracles. We all like to listen about the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And indeed, it should make us happy. But the miracles, for example, the miracle where the Quraysh, they put pressure on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show them something. And they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to split the moon. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with indication of his hand, he split the moon. And like that, on one occasion, Sahaba were traveling with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the time of Asr Salah. There was no water available. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba to gather whatever little water they had. They gathered it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hand in there, and water started flowing from his fingers. In one riwayat, it comes approximately 1,400 Sahaba fulfill their needs of wudu, of drinking, and etc. from that water. So these are the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But these are waqti miracles. Waqti meaning it was for those time, for that time where people were there, they experienced it. If we look with the eyes of iman, we listen with the ears of iman, we think with the mind of iman, and we open our hearts, then we will realize that this deen of ours that is in front of us, we'll be able to feel it, we'll hear it, we'll see it, that this is a living miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brought to us by the most beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just look at the time, if we were to ask any person to pilot a project in our circumstances, for example, a project to redress the discrepancies of the past as far as racial issues are concerned in the country. You pilot the project, this is your target, it's South Africa. You don't go beyond that. It is a limited period of time. You try and redress all the issues of the past. The first thing the person will ask you is, what capital do I have? After what capital do I have, what type of infrastructure do I have? What networking system do I have to assist me in addressing this? And if a person is told there's absolutely no capital, in fact it's hunger. And forget infrastructure and networking. Even your own family will be against you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came, he had no capital. Absolutely no capital. He did not come to address racial issues. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to address many, many issues. In fact, he came to address the problems of the ummah right up till the day of Qiyamah. And not only the worldly problems, the problems of the akhirat also. And when he came, absolutely no capital. It is said that as far as his family was concerned, he had one supporter initially from his family, his uncle Abu Talib. A time came when the pressure was mounting. His own uncle Abu Talib came and approached him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could sense this ittirab, this lack or this reluctance from his uncle to support him any further. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a statement. He says, لو وضع الشمس في يميني والقمر في يساري على أن أترك هذا الأمر حتى يظهره الله أو أهلك فيه ما تركته. That if they place the sun in my right hand, talk about emphasis of matter, talk about a statement being emphatic. It's very difficult to find a statement more emphatic than the statement that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. And the stronger the emphasis, the greater the matter that's being emphasized. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if they place the sun in my right hand, oh my uncle, if they place the moon in my left hand, and they prepare to do this on condition that I leave up calling towards Islam, I leave up giving dawah towards deen, oh my uncle, either one of two things may happen. Either the deen of Allah will come alive, will spread, or I, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be destroyed, but I will never ever give up this matter. I will never ever give up calling towards deen. This was the seriousness of the effort that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. This was the effect of his family desisting. But it did not stop Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As far as the other issues were concerned, the issues of drinking, we know that drinking was so ripe, it was so common, that every second home, every second place, or every place you can say at that time, they were completely engulfed by the habit of drinking. That anything came, any matter, no matter what it was, they would pass their time by drinking. And unlike our times when there is a variety of drinks, so if a person has to abstain from one drink, there's still an option of another drink. In that time, this drink and alcohol and sharab, that was the main thing. There wasn't a variety of drinks available, example fruit juices, example cool drinks, etc. But they relied on this. And we find, as far as the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned, just to address this, a sahabi he mentioned, he says, Kuntu saqi al qawm fi manzili Abi Talhata radiallahu ta'ala an. This riwayat is in Bukhari Sharif. He says that I was the bartender, so to speak. At that time, drinking was allowed. I was the bartender in the home of Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala an. And he says, فَنَزَلَ تَحْرِيمُ الْخَمْرِ. That now the hukam came that it is haram. That wine is haram, it's no longer allowed. So he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was his advertising campaign? This is why I say, respected friends, if you look with the eyes of Iman, we'll realize it's nothing but a miracle. What was the advertising campaign? Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi mentions in Mariful Quran that once in America, they decided that the only way they will curb drinking is by going on a massive advertising campaign. So what they started doing is billboards, television, radio stations, wherever they could, whichever media they could use, they would use to advertise the harmful effects of drinking. And after 1 year, they did a survey only to find that the level of alcohol intake only increased. And what was the advertising campaign of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَأَمَرَ مُنَادِيًا فَنَادَى. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded one person to go around Madinah Sharif and just announce that أَلَا إِنَّ الْخَمْرَ قَدْ حُرِّمَتْ. Then go around and announce that now wine has become haram. Abu Talha says, I was in the house and we could hear, Abu Nu'man says, I was in the house and we could hear noise coming from outside. Somebody shouting something. So Abu Talha told me, فَخْرُجْ فَنْزُرْ مَا هَذَا السَّوْتِ. Go outside and listen, what is this noise that's coming? What is this person announcing? So he says, I went out and I came back in. And I told him, هَذَا مُنَادِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُنَادِي عَلَىٰ إِنَّ الْخَمْرَ قَدْ حُرِّمَتْ. That this is the announcer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announcing that now wine has become haram. So what was the response? Can you imagine the amount of stocks that they had in the house? What was the response? Immediate response of Abu Talha to his bartender, to the person that used to tender the drinks in his home. Immediately he tells him, فَخْرُجْ فَأَهْرِقْهَا. Go outside immediately, move. And throw everything away. To such an extent that he reports, فَجَرَتْ فِي سِكَكِ الْمَدِينَةِ. That wine started flowing in the streets of Medina. So this is the miracle as far as the drinking was concerned. And women at that time, women were treated nothing lower. Women were treated with absolutely no respect. Like dirt. They had no value. To such an extent that when a woman would give birth, she would give birth and next to her would be a pit. If a girl was born, immediately the child would be thrown in the pit and buried. End of the story. Quran makes mention, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُ مُسْوَدَّ وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. That when they were given glad tidings of a girl, بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُ مُسْوَدَّ, their face used to become dark, their face used to become pale. وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ, they were filled with grief. يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ, they would actually go away, hide away from the people. They felt it such a shame. مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ, because of this glad tidings, or because of the news that they were given of a female offspring. أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ, these two options they had. Either I take this child and I retain him with this child and retain her with disgrace, or I take this child and bury this child in the ground. One of two options, Allah says, سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ, evil is what they decide. So evil. One Sahabi, he mentioned, it comes in Sunan al-Darimi, that this Sahabi, he mentions his story before Islam. He reports to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that I had a beautiful daughter. She was very attached to me, extremely attached to me. And when she reached the age where she could now understand and communicate, I came home one day and she was so excited to see me. And I told her, follow me. And I saw the excitement on her face as though her father is taking her somewhere. Like how a little child, when the father takes the child somewhere, the child gets excited, happy. So he says, I took this child to the well of my tribe. Those days the tribes used to settle around wells because water was the source, water is the source of all livelihood. So he says, to the well of my tribe, I took this child and I threw this child into the well. Not feeling ashamed. It was something normal. And then he says, up till now, the last words of this child rings in my ears. Oh my father, oh my father, oh my father. Can you imagine what level of jahalat they were in? And after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made effort on these people, it comes in Hadith Bukhari Sharif riwayat that أَهَمَّتْهُمْ شَأْنُ إِمْرَأَةٍ مَخْزُومِيَةٍ. There was a lady by the name of Fatima Bintul Aswad. She was from the Banu Makhzum tribe, a very influential tribe of the Quraysh. What happened? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the hukam that her hand must be cut. Not buried alive, her hand must be cut for stealing. And this we know in Islam, the beauty of Islam is one person's hand gets cut and the rest of the community lives in peace. And the times we are in, everyone's hand gets saved and everyone is living in distress. So this is the beauty of Islam. Anyway, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this hukam, the hadith says this matter worried them. They were so worried about this. And they thought like how we normally think. Which contact can we use? Which person can we phone to try and reverse this decision? So they thought of a sahabi by the name of Usama bin Zaid radiallahu ta'ala an. Because time is against us, we cannot go into detail. But this sahabi, his mother was Umm Ayman Baraka, a black woman. And his father was a slave, the freed slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zayd bin Haris. In fact, he was also very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Usama bin Zayd, he took after the looks of his mother. So outwardly, he looked like a black person. But he was extremely beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith it comes that he would put Hassan radiallahu ta'ala on one lap, he would put Usama bin Zayd on the other lap, as though he had equal love for both of them. So this Usama bin Zayd, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Inna Usama min ahabba nasi ilayya, wa ana arju an yakuna min salihikum. That Usama bin Zayd is from amongst the most beloved people to me, and I hope and I'm hopeful he's from amongst the pious of you. So they approached Usama bin Zayd. They thought that he will have the most guts to approach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to reverse this decision against this woman. So he approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he mentioned what these people are requesting. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately, he said, أَتَشْفَعُ فِي حَدٍ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ. Do you come to intercede in the had, in the penal punishments from amongst the punishments and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَغَضِبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَامَ فَخَطَبَ النَّاسِ. He got so angry, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He woke up and he addressed the people. He gave a khutbah. He said, إِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ الَّذِينَ إِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمْ شَرِيفٌ تَرَكُوهُ وَإِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمْ ضَعِيفٌ أَقَامُوا عَلَيْهِ الْحَدَّ وَإِمُّ اللَّهِ لَوْ سَرَقَتْ فَاطِمَةُ بِنْتُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَقَطَعْتُ يَدَهَا. Then he said that The people of the past have been destroyed. Whenever there was an influential, affluent person amongst them who committed a crime, they would leave out the punishment. And when there was a poor person, a person of no standing, a person who had no status in community, who had no wealth, then they would institute the law, the punishment against him. He says, by the qasam of Allah, this lady was Fatima bintul Aswad. He said, by the qasam of Allah, if Fatima bintu Muhammad, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had to steal, I would cut her hand also. To show that in this deen, there's no such thing as any kind of prejudice. There's no favoritism. Every person is on an equal footing. So, respected friends and elders, if we look, we find there many, many examples like this. Where the beautiful deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that I desired to read salah, to perform salat in the Kaaba Sharif. And I had this love. We find that Hajjatul Wida, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Hajjatul Wida was Fath Makkah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he conquered Makkah Sharif. And on that occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the Kaaba. And he entered the Kaaba with three sahaba. One was Bilal radiallahu anhu, a black sahabi. I'm just trying to show you how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the tide in a short space of time when he reversed all these problems that they were having. He enters the Kaaba. Bilal radiallahu anhu was with him. The second person he had with him was Usama bin Zaid, who I just mentioned to you. Can you imagine the sight? Sahaba all looking at this. Rasulullah sallam is going into the Kaaba. They're all viewing this. And the third person was Usman bin Talha radiallahu anhu. He was from the family that used to keep the key of the Kaaba. So therefore he also went with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no influential, affluent, top ranking sahabi with Rasulullah, apart from these three sahaba. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with these three sahaba into the Kaaba. And they saw this. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, Kuntu uhibbu an usalliya fil bayt. I also had this desire that I must perform salah in the Kaaba. So I went and approached. Fasaltu Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَخَذَنِي بِيَدِي فَأَدْخَلَنِي فِي الْحِجْرِ. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beautifully took me by my hand. He did not take me into the Kaaba. Otherwise every one of us would have felt that there was some type of favoritism as far as the way he treated his wives compared to the other people. Nobody could ever feel this. She says that he took me by my hand and he took me into the Hatim and he told me to read Salah in the Hatim as good as reading Salah in the Kaaba. So respected friends and elders, this is the deen. Today everybody wants to know the seriousness of this deen, the beauty of this deen. We listen to the budget speech, then everyone wants to know what is in store for us tomorrow. What is in store for us tomorrow? And that tomorrow we don't even know whether we are going to see. We might see it, we may not see it. Allah Pak mentions in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat li ghad. O you who believe, fear Allah. And every person should see what he has sent forward for tomorrow. Have we ever thought of that tomorrow? Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned under this ayat, what is meant is hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu, that do a stock take of yourself before your stock take is taken. It is financial year end. Many, many companies and businesses are doing their stock takes. People are doing stock takes. But it's possible at this stock take, there may be errors. In this accounting, there may be problems. It may not be correctly reflected. What's on the stock sheets might not be on the ground. What's on the ground might not be in the stock sheets. What's in the accounting records might not be accurate. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a perfect accounting system. Impossible to beat. Impossible. A person on the best accountant on the day of Qiyamah, he'll come. مَالِ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. What type of book is this? What type of books is this? Every single thing is recorded. Not one thing is missed. There's no guesstimate. There's no provision. There's no mistake in this. Everything 100%. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدِ. Allah Pak's accounting system cannot be beaten on the debit side, on the credit side, on your right, on your left. Allah got an angel that's recording. And everything is recorded 100%. And Sahaba, to terminate, respected friends, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they understood this. And everything they saw, they would relate it. What is my condition tomorrow? What is my stock take tomorrow? What is going to happen to me tomorrow? It comes in Bukhari Sharif riwayat that Anna Abdurrahman ibn Auf utiya bi ta'amin wa kana sa'iman. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala an, He was fasting and food was brought to him. فَقَالَ قُتِلَ مُسْعَبُ بْنُ عُمَيْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنِّي وَكُفِّنَ فِي بُرْدَةٍ إِذَا غُطِّيَ رَأْسُهُ بَدَتْ رِجْلَاهُ وَإِذَا غُطِّيَ رِجْلَاهُ بَدَى رَأْسُهُ ثُمَّ قَالَ ثُمَّ بُسِطَ لَنَا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا مَا بُسِطَ. He says that Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu ta'ala an, he was better than me. But when he was buried, can you imagine, he is fasting, food is brought to him. Where does his mind go to, respectively? Not what food is brought to me, whether it's biryani, whether it's akni, what food it is. He immediately thinks that Mus'ab ibn Umayr, he was better than me. He was killed, he was martyred in the battle of Uhud. And when his feet was covered, then when his head was covered, his feet used to be exposed. When his feet was covered, his head used to be exposed. Then he says that summa busita lana min ad-dunya ma busita. Then Allah Pak has started making things easy for us. The dunya has opened up to us. Summa ja'ala yabki hatta taraka ta'ama. Then Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, a top high ranking sahabi, we know his status, but yet he starts crying. The riwayat says that he starts crying to such an extent that he leaves the food also. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, respected friends, to realize and understand that this life in this dunya is a very short and transitory life. Bahadur Shah Zafar, who was the last king of India, we'll terminate on this inshallah. He, being the king, he had all the benefits and all the luxuries, so to speak, of this world. But when he comes towards the latter part of his life, now he speaks with experience, like a person who goes through life, and now he reaches a point where he has a terminal illness. Then the reality and the hakikat of life opens up to him. So he says, with regards to life, he says, Ye kahaka fasana zood ziya. What type of mamla is this life? What type of affair is this life? One day a person is happy, one day a person is sad, one day he's gloating, one day he's bloating, one day he's flying. Like a hot air balloon, next day he's punctured, next day he's in depression. One day losses, one day profits, one day losses. One day a person is healthy and fit, next day a person is sick. So what type of life is this? Jo gaya, so gaya. Jo mila, so mila. Whatever has gone, is gone. Whatever a person has accumulated, he has accumulated. You see, kaho dil se ye fursat-e zindagi bohot kam hai. Tell your heart that the opportunities, the real opportunities of life are very, very, very little. Agar kuch dila to muhabbat e ilahi dila. If ever, oh heart, you gave yourself to a car, a beautiful car, when you bought your first car, you were so excited. A day came when you were no more excited. You gave your heart to a house, to a mansion. A day came, you were no more excited about it. Then you gave your heart to maybe that wife, and after that wife was gone, now you're no more so attached to her anymore. So tell your heart, oh heart, if ever you want to give yourself to something, then give yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the love of Allah, because that is the thing that will drive you, that is the thing that will usher you towards obeying Allah, and that is such a thing that will never ever let you down. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal on whatever I said. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.